Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We heard these words this morning. The disciples asked Jesus, "Why couldn't we heal him?" And Jesus' answer was, "Because of your unbelief, your lack of trust." The word for belief is the same word for trust in the Greek language and in Hebrew. So it's your lack of trust. "For I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move,' and it will be moved. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by faith, by prayer and fasting," he adds. And then the Apostle Paul, in our reading this morning, the disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is discipled by disciples, held with the same vision, the same purpose, and the same mission. And we heard him say to us this morning, "Children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the good news of the gospel. Therefore, I urge you now, imitate me as I imitate Christ Jesus." Vision. Trust comes from a vision of who God really is. Beginning in Genesis, the evil one tried to fool Adam and Eve. And the first thing he did was to break trust. Broken trust is broken love, a broken relationship. And a broken relationship is broken communion. And that's what we're here to celebrate today, the Eucharist, Thanksgiving, that communion, trust between us and our Heavenly Father can actually be restored. Not only us with our Heavenly Father, with the Holy Trinity, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, but trust can be restored between us too, as human beings. The trust that was broken between male and female, Adam and Eve, in the garden, that resulted immediately when trust was broken with God, immediately then trust was broken between husband and wife, between male and female, between persons. And then in a family, not long after that, you have the first murder, a brother killing a brother, and the family disintegrates. It doesn't get any worse than that. When we think it might be worse today than it was then, it really was bad. Broken communion is broken communion. Broken trust, broken relationships are broken relationships. And we're all suffering with that. That's actually how our journey into Orthodoxy began. We were missionaries, Protestant evangelical missionaries in China. We had been for 13 years, and our parents before us. My wife grew up in Matushka Roseanne, grew up in Brazil, South America, as a missionary kid. I grew up in East Texas. My father was in missions administration, and we traveled to different countries as I was growing up. And we were immersed in Protestant evangelical missions. We ended up in China, living in Hong Kong in South China, and we were trying to translate the gospel to make it good news for the Chinese people. And it was not going well. The Jesuits were disbanded for 73 years because they tried to do that, the greatest, largest missionary force on earth in the 18th century. They were disbanded because they tried to make the gospel good news for the Chinese. Protestant missionaries hadn't had a lot more success in really translating the gospel. For example, the word for sin to this day in the Chinese New Testament, in Romans 6 or Romans 3, where we say all have sinned and fallen short of God, of the glory of God. Communion has been broken. We all are suffering from broken trust with God. That verse, that word for sin in Chinese to this day, both in the Roman Catholic Bible and in the Protestant edition, that word for sin means to commit a crime that is worthy of punishment by death, a capital crime. In other words, you have murdered someone. And that's how that word translates. That's what it means. So I say to the average Chinese person, "Do you know that you're a sinner?" And in good Chinese fashion, they will shake their head. "Yes," which simply means, "I hear that you are speaking." air is coming out of your mouth, and you are talking, and I notice that. Yes, yes, you are speaking. It has nothing to do with agreement in good Asian culture, traditionally. It simply means, you are talking. Yes, I am listening to you. They'll say, yes, I have sinned. But in their mind, they're thinking that word. I have never killed anyone. I've never murdered anyone. I've never stolen anything of tremendous value. I've never committed a capital crime. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be loyal to my family. I'm trying to be a good father. I'm trying to be a good mother. I'm trying to be a good son. I'm trying to be a good daughter. And so that scripture goes right over their heads. We're miscommunicating. We're mistranslating the good news. So when we sat in our first catechism in the Orthodox Church years ago, many years ago, now, we come back from Hong Kong. I had been corresponding with Father Peter Gilchrist for 3 years from Hong Kong. And we were trying to translate the gospel, trying to answer the questions the Chinese were asking. We didn't even ask the questions as Protestant Western missionaries that they were asking, let alone have proper answers. And so I remember, well, there's something called the Eastern Orthodox Church. Maybe they can help us make the gospel good news for the Chinese people. And then I thought, well, they're ancient, they're old, I know that. I've learned about them in Greek class, in New Testament Greek, and in my studies. And I know that they're very old, they're very ancient. They're Eastern, and I don't know anything else about the Orthodox Church. So if you're here visiting this morning for the first time, I remember exactly what that felt like. And I know. And those who have come into the church, I remember. We didn't know a thing. But I thought, maybe they can help us. They're old, they're Eastern. Maybe they can help us translate the gospel for the Chinese people. And so we began to study, we began to read and correspond. And we didn't get to our first Orthodox service until 1993. Studies began in 1990 in Hong Kong. 93, we finally walked into our first Orthodox church in the U.S. and it was all in Greek. Then we walked into another church and it was all mostly in Arabic and other Eastern languages. So I still hadn't heard John Chrysostom's liturgy in my own language. It wouldn't be until we got to Indianapolis, Indiana, in summer of 93, that we heard John Chrysostom's liturgy and saw this service for the very first time in our own language, and we could understand it, and I simply wept through the entire service. Because this missionary kid, this missionary, had a feeling that I had never had before, that I had come. That I had found my home. And as a missionary kid, that's a rare feeling. Home is out there somewhere else, usually where you're not. And you say a lot of goodbyes and a lot of hellos. So the hello to the Orthodox Church, the greeting we received at that church in Indianapolis was a tremendous gift to us. Began a journey in 1993. We had no idea where it would take us and that someday we'd stand here and be with you. Today, as an Orthodox priest and Orthodox missionaries serving the Orthodox Christian Mission Center. No idea. And what we do as missionaries is what Paul did and what Jesus did. He translated who God is and who we're created to become so that it could be heard as good news to the people we're trying to reach. And as you leave here today and you drive out this beautiful piece of property today, your parking lot, you leave this beautiful building, you enter the mission field yourself, and you might not be called to be a foreign missionary, but you are called to be a witness all through this coming week of the gospel. And you, your life will translate it. You will be probably the only translator of the fullness of this Orthodox faith as you go out this week. And I know it's summer, and it's hot, and it's a lazy time in Georgia. And so to speak, you want to relax. You just don't want to stress out too much. But you're called to be a witness this week. And you're going to be a witness of something, one way or the other. Either of the truth of who God is and who you're created to become, or the evil one all week will try to tempt us with a lie and a distortion about that, just like he did Eve. He convinced Eve that you shouldn't listen to God. You can't trust him. He knows that if you eat of the fruit of that tree, that you'll become like him. And the insinuation was, he doesn't want you to be like him. He's selfish. He's an egomaniac. You can't trust him. But you can trust me. You can trust me. And you and I are going to hear voices like that from the moment we leave this property for the rest of the week until we put 2 feet back in. We're going to hear that voice that says, you can't trust him. Don't trust him with your children. He might make them to become priests or bishops, or horror of horrors, they might become missionaries. He might call them to become missionaries. Wouldn't that be terrible? Children, today, I love being in large Greek parishes and serving with OCOC. And I look at them and I say, I'm not here for your money today. I'm here for your children. It always wakes them up a bit. I'm here for your godchildren. I'm here for your grandchildren. Because no doubt in a parish this size, with families like this, God is going to call missionaries from this parish. When we arrived in Hong Kong, the Mormon center, the Mormons had 2 centers, one on Hong Kong Island and one in Kowloon. Each of them had over 200 missionaries in training in preparation for 97 when Hong Kong went back to China. And they were preparing for that day. 400 Mormon missionaries just in little Hong Kong. Today we have about 30 Orthodox missionaries around the world. This cannot be. This is not. And so I trust that today the Lord is planting seeds, and through your God-bearing pastor and his family, your priest and his family, that God is going to call missionaries from this parish. God is going to call priests. He's going to call future deacons. We're going to make disciples here, right? Which is the command of the commission. The Lord says, the only verb in the Great Commission passage of Matthew 28 is make disciples. The go, the teach, the baptize, those are Greek participles. They're explaining the main verb. They're telling you what it looks like to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, what it looks like to make disciples, that we're willing to come to Christ, and that we're willing to go wherever he asks us to go. That's to be a disciple. That we're willing to be baptized and to die in Christ and be raised as a new creation and begin a whole new life empowered by the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will enable us to do whatever he calls us to do. And he will not call us to do something that he has not prepared us to do and that he is enabling us to do. Don't worry. When he calls you to do something in this parish, in Macon, in Georgia, in the United States, he knows what he's preparing you for. And he will equip you, and he will prepare you just like he did his apostles and his disciples and every missionary since. And yes, we all say, Lord, I can't do that. Who am I to do this? What are you calling me? Who am I that you would call me? We all say that. And then we come back and say, but I trust in your Holy Spirit who fills me, for Christ who empowers me. And I believe that you will work through me, even without me knowing it most of the time. So this is a place where you're commanded to become disciples of Jesus Christ, to make disciples. We weren't commanded to make converts. We weren't even commanded in that Great Commission to make Orthodox Christians. We were commanded by the Lord and are commanded to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we do that and bring them into the fullness of what our Orthodox Church offers, we have all the fullness to make disciples. We will never run out of our tools in the Orthodox Church to become disciples and make disciples. They're inexhaustible over the ages. And so you've come here this morning as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as one who wants to be a disciple. Some of you are participating in making other disciples. You have your 12 and you have your 3, as Jesus did. Continue that good work, I encourage you. Men's Bible studies, men's groups, women's Bible studies, women's groups, whatever small groups you have that you're meeting to encourage each other, to make disciples, to grow in your faith, to put your roots, as Paul would say later in this passage, to grow roots deep down into Christ and draw nourishment from him. Remember, he starts this epistle this morning that we're talking about it by saying, I cannot write to you, Corinthians, as mature disciples of Jesus Christ. I have to write to you as babies. And I can't give you the meat of the gospel because you're still drinking milk. And it shouldn't be so with you, Corinthians. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to eat the meat of the Word of God, the meat of the faith, and begin to mature so that you can reproduce yourselves over and over. The mark of spiritual maturity, right? And there's no one way to do this. You're not going to do it like Father David or Father Theophan or Matushka Rosen or somebody else or like Paul. The Lord doesn't need another one of us. The Lord needs you in your own unique, unrepeatable way to make disciples and to become a disciple. You're going to show us what sainthood looks like for you because it's never been done before for you. Each of us are in the process of becoming saints, and our greatest disappointment each day comes back to the fact that I'm not a saint yet, but I'm on the road. I'm becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Like St. Irenaeus would write on his road to martyrdom, Ignatius would write on his road to martyrdom in chains. He would say, now I am become, as your bishop, I am beginning to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. As he was in chains and on his road to martyrdom in the Colosseum. Now I am beginning to become a disciple. And I pray for you as my fellow disciples, that you would pray with me and walk with me in this journey to martyrdom. And that I might prove to be a worthy bishop to you, a worthy spiritual father to you by your prayers. Together we are becoming his disciples. He would write a beautiful prayer. You see, we didn't borrow this word disciple or discipleship from Protestant Christians. They got it from us, okay? We got it from the scriptures themselves. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says, you imitate me now as I am imitating Christ Jesus. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to raise you up as I was discipled by the apostles themselves. As I was discipled. And now I'm going to help you grow in the faith over the years and become mature in Christ so that your trust in him might be restored. And that's part of the mark of maturity, isn't it? That I trust him again. So I would ask this morning very simply, what is it that you brought with you this morning that you're having trouble trusting God with? What fear do you have this morning that you brought with you? What are you afraid of? What are you concerned about? What are you scared of? You know, those fears reveal to us where we don't trust God yet. Our whole life is a process of giving our rights and our expectations to God, trusting them with him. And now we have the privilege of doing that as we'll share during our coffee hour. We'll take you to Kodiak, Alaska, where we're at right now. Before this, it was Guatemala, planting the first seminary in Guatemala. For the Orthodox Church. Now we're in Alaska in revitalizing the seminary there, St. Herman Seminary, through the prayers of your saint here, St. Vincent. St. Herman was the lover of people, as you'll see pictures of, and we're going to take you to Alaska over in the parish hall. We'll take you there, and we'll let you see and where those saints walked and what they did. We're going to talk about it. In follow-up with this homily and this service this morning. St. Herman was the heart. He was the lover of people. St. Innocent was the teacher. He was the catechist. He was the one who made disciples in a very concentrated, direct, purposeful way. He was the one who raised up future leadership. Your namesake here in this parish bonds us with you in the work in Alaska. And we either are going to revitalize our 90 parishes in Alaska. They're either going to be revitalized because most of them have forgot why they're doing what they're doing. They're doing the motions. They have some beautiful places to worship, but they forgot why we're doing what we're doing. What the prayers mean in our lives to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And when we forget our vision of who God is and why we're doing it, we lose our purpose, and when we lose our purpose, we lose our mission. And people without a mission are miserable. We were made to know our purpose. We were made to know our mission. Fathers and mothers, we were made to give our children a vision of who God is and who they're created to be, with a purpose in life and a great mission. A great mission. It was asked recently in a large high school down in Florida. They asked the children, the kids there, the high school students, if you died tomorrow, would it affect anyone's life? How many of you think that it wouldn't? How many of you think that if you died tomorrow, nobody would care? It really wouldn't affect anybody. And over half of the high school auditorium raised their hands. It wouldn't matter if I died tomorrow. In the Orthodox Church, we can give our next generation, we can accept this vision of who God is, this purpose of this mission, and we can give it to the next generation. It's our responsibility. And we're at a point now in time in our history, in our country, here in Georgia. If we don't, who would? In fact, there are other voices out there that are ready to distort that vision and totally mess up the purpose and tell them they really don't have one. So live as God of your own life now and do what makes you happy. That's what they're going to hear if we don't say something else. What a vision that we have this morning of who God is in our divine liturgy. Everything we're doing this morning is to give you a new encounter with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit who will bring you to the Father. You will taste, you will touch, you will smell, you will see. Every sense will be informed about who God is and who we're called to become. We leave here with a purpose and a mission. Unite our hearts together to fulfill it not only here, but in Alaska as well, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.